Vate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 16. Krishna chastises the serpent Kaliya. Today's number, text number 58 and 59. Correct? So the word meanings Vayam we cha and tatra, within that material creation, Bhagavan, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, sarpa, serpents, jati, by species, urumanyava, too much absorbed in anger, katam, how, twajama, we can give up, twat mayam, your illusory potency, duschajam, which is impossible to give up, mohita, bewildered, swayam, on our own. Vayam cha tatra bhagavan. Sarpa jaturumanyava. Katam tvajamas tvan mayam. 58. Duschajam mohita swayam. Well, this is a par for the course today. Trying to come to the temple this morning, we were blocked by a train. It was stopped on the tracks, and we went tried to go around through another neighborhood, and it was there too, blocked on the tracks. It was moving, but then it stopped. And so then we went back, and the train was still there. So then we had to go another way through Alachua. And so this is par for the course today. What's happening today? Yes. Vayam chatatra bhagavan. Sarpa jaturumanyava. Katam tvajamas tvan mayam. Duschajam mohita swayam. Please chant.
Vayam chatatra bhagavan.
Vayam chatatra bhagavan.
Sarpa jaturumanyavah.
Sarpa jaturumanyavah.
Katam chajamas tvanmayam.
Katam chajamas tvanmayam.
Duschajam mohita swayam.
Vayam chatatra bhagavan.
Sarpa
jaturumanyaha.
Katam
chajamas
tvanmayam.
Duschajam mohita swayam. Anybody else? Ladies? Oh, you can't see it. Okay. Translation and purport, my disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Text 58, I'll read 59. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, among all the species within your material creation, we serpents are by nature always enraged. Being thus deluded by your illusory energy, which is very difficult to give up, how can we possibly give up it on our own? How can we possibly give it up on our own? Purport. Kaliya is here indirectly begging for the Lord's mercy, realizing that on his own he can never become free from illusion and suffering. Only by surrendering to the Lord and obtaining his mercy can one be released from the painful conditions of material life. In text number 59, Bhavanhi Karanam Tatra Sarva Gyo Jagadishvaraha Anugraham Nigraham Va Manyase Tat Videhina. O Lord, since you are the omniscient Lord of the universe, you are the actual cause of freedom from illusion. Please arrange for us whatever you consider proper, whether it be mercy or punishment. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Two very interesting verses here this morning. Maybe we can have the lights back on. Two very interesting verses which point to two truths about the constitutional position of the living entity. When I refer to constitutional position of a living entity, what I mean is not only in our conditioned state, but even in our perfected state as residents of the spiritual world, we still have the same constitutional position. And the two elements I want to focus on this morning of that constitutional position. The first is that we are dependent beings. Here we see that Kaliya is realizing that it's not possible to give it up on our own. He's understanding his dependence upon Krishna to free him from illusion. That's indicative of our dependent state. We're always in that situation where we are dependent. We're never independent, neither in our conditioned state nor in our perfected being. We're dependent upon the mercy of the Lord. I recall just recently someone in class was speaking about reminding us of the Damodar Leela, where there's two fingers too short, the rope, indicating the mercy of the Lord and the endeavor of the living entity. That's how perfection can be achieved. So that dependence is there. So that's the first point about our constitutional position. And the second is that we are part of a group. Kaliya is saying, Jati, Sarpaswa Jati, the snake species. We are always part of some group. Again, whether in the spiritual world or the material world, we can be grouped. Now, of course, in America, we have this rugged individualism. We don't want to be, considered part of a group. We want to be more the individual side of us. But the fact is, for better or worse, we can be grouped. That's part of our constitutional nature. Let's discuss these two things a little bit in terms of what's being described here. Kaliya is saying that sarpa jati, this grouping, he's referring to the snakes in general. We are angry or enraged beings. So it's sort of characteristic of snakes that they're like that. We think of them like that. But it's not just snake-bodied people. It's more like a mentality. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the fourth canto, chapter 22, text 11, there's a description there where Prabhupada elaborates in the purport about those who, householders particularly, who don't welcome devotees of the Lord in their house. They're described as being envious, just like snakes. Indeed, their houses are described as being just like the den of envious serpents. And so the sarpa jati is not just those entities that have like a snake bodies. Those who are of the mentality, particularly envious of the devotees, as pointed out in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, they can also be grouped with the snakes. They can be grouped. The group is not just limited to the particular type of body that one has, but more one's mentality. That's how we can think of groups. I think Nagaraj was mentioning yesterday, or certainly someone was mentioning in class recently, about how human beings, if you read the Bhagavatam, you see that living entities and with human bodies, sometimes they give birth to snakes. What was the Kayadru?
Kadru.
She was like, had a human body, but she gave birth to the snake, the race of snakes. I think she also had that mentality a little bit too. She was like arguing with her sister or something. Her sister, yeah. They had some dispute between the two of them. So this grouping is based on our mentality. So that's one point about that. Now, there are good groupings, not just bad groupings. There are good groupings. And in a sense, if you look at the Hare Krishna people, we're also like a group. We're a people, actually. I've been thinking about that the other day. I was talking with Yadavar and Vishaka about their first film, The Hare Krishna People. And I was making the point to them that Prabhupada, he created us as a people. And by that I mean a plurality of persons who are considered as a whole. We're a people. And there are certain characteristics that we have as people. As a people, just like the Jewish people or the Palestinian people, they have certain characteristics by which they're known. Similarly, we, the Hare Krishna people, have characteristics by which we're known. And I'll give you an example of one, and then I want to ask you if you can give me examples of others. Yesterday, my daughter, who attends the University of Florida, she went on a tour of, what do you call it? The places that you have to visit as part of the UF tradition. These are classic places where you go on a tour. And so they went to places like the football stadium, right? And they even went in the, you know, locker rooms and everything like that, where the whole inside workings of the football program go on. It was like, you know, it's a traditional place for all people that go to the University of Florida. They went to Century Tower. Is that what it's called? Century Tower, which is like the main symbol of the University of Florida. And they went there. And so they got to go up and, you know, see out from the, it's like 11 stories tall. And from Century Tower, the landmark of the University of Florida, they went to, and this is not just a group of devotees, this is any students to go on a tour, sort of a farewell tour of the University of Florida, where they get their identity branded in them, so they'll give money as alumni from time immemorial. From Centennial Tower, they went to Krishna Lunch. But it's more than that, because they were going on a tour around 5 o'clock. And if you know about Krishna Lunch is like 11 to 2 or something like that. So there wasn't Krishna Lunch there. But still, they went to Krishna Lunch, and still there was some prasadam there through the arrangement of the Krishna Lunch people, especially with this tour or whatever. But there was a special arrangement for all those students to go and get prasadam. And they all ate halava there or something like that. Now, this is, again, branding their identity as UF graduates, and part of that is Krishna Lunch, the Hare Krishna devotees giving them prasadam. So one way by which we are known as a people is by giving prasadam. I mean, what do you think about, you meet somebody about the Hare Krishnas, what do you think about them? Well, those people have good food. They're always ready to give you a good meal. Again, even Stephen Jobs mentioned in a speech he gave at Stanford University, he mentioned how he knows the Hare Krishna people is by giving food. So as a people, as a group, we are known as those who give prasadam. Yeah, are there any other ways in which you can think of that we are known as a people?
The books.
We are known as book distributors, yes, we are known as that. We're known for that.
Chanting,
dancing in the street. When people say to us, geez, we haven't seen you for a long time. Where you guys been? What are they referring to? These people that we see on the streets chanting Hare Krishna, right? They know us as a people like that. Anything more? Anybody?
Back to Godhead Magazine.
Any other things? Yes? Rathiatra festivals? Yes, KGB said they're always smiling. We're known as happy. People know, oh, those you people are happy. That's how they know us as a people, that we're happy. Saffron robes? Well, used to be. Prabhupada gave the example, one time, he was traveling, I think, from London to Australia or something, and in the middle of the night, they passed through Athens Airport. And as they were walking, they heard somebody shout out, Hare Krishna! Because the person saw Prabhupada and devotees walking, and he knew these Hare Krishna people, so he chanted out Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada always noted that we're known as the Hare Krishna people because they see us like that. He also said things like, that the Hare Krishna people are known as gentlemen like that. Happy book distributors, we counted to prasadam. So like this, these are characteristics of the Hare Krishna devotees as a people. And it's interesting that Prabhupada said to us that your love will be shown for how you cooperate after I'm gone. And so Prabhupada was very concerned about the devotees cooperating and not fighting among themselves. And one might think that is a sort of a morality or a managerial idea. But actually, when you think about our constitutional position as being part of a group, it's really more a spiritual implication that you should cooperate. Means that as a people, you're known as a people, and that's part of your constitutional nature, and part of that should be a good, healthy, cooperative spirit amongst you, not that you're fighting. So if we look at Prabhupada's instructions, particularly when there have been situations in the past where there's been some conflict from the devotees, he's instructing us from the spiritual platform about cooperation and how we should work together. So these are ways in which we're known as a people. One final way, and it was mentioned sort of in a humorous way by Nagaraj Prabhu yesterday, about having our own language. Because there are certain words and expressions where we talk that label us as people, devotees, you know. The way we say the things that he was describing in Dravida, also being an editor, they both know how these things define us as a people. So it's not necessarily a bad thing, you know, that we don't give the correct pronunciation to some words, or we follow Prabhupada's pronunciation in some ways, because it's a characteristic of a people. I have a definition here just to, I thought I would read just so that we can drive home this point. A body of persons united by common culture, tradition, a sense of kinship, that typically have common language, institutions, and beliefs. So that defines us as the Hare Krishna people. And indeed, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we are unique. We know that Gaudiya Vaishnavas are followers of Rupa Goswami. But Prabhupada indicated, even within that broader category or grouping, that ISKCON is a branch of the Chaitanya tree. That's directly written in Chaitanya Charitamrita like that, isn't it? That ISKCON's a branch of the Chaitanya tree?
Yes.
So, you know, he's spiritually grouping us, you know, in Lord Chaitanya's movement like that. Even there's a common statement, and I looked this up a little bit, about us as a group. He said that there will be an ISKCON in the spiritual sky. It's in a letter to Tushta Krishna, December 14th, 1972. It's discussing things, but then he says, at the end of his statement, he says, such and such will go there, you will go there, such and such will go there, all others will go there. We will have another ISKCON there. And he's talking about the spiritual world. So, as a group, we'll go. During the centennial of Srila Prabhupada back in 96, Rabindra Shroop sort of coined a phrase that was popular. He said that we don't go back to Godhead alone. If all of us don't go, none of us go, like that, something like that. So the point being that, again, as a group, we worship Krishna. We go to Krishna. And even in the spiritual world, this idea of being part of a group is there. We know that there are groups of followers of the principal associates of Krishna, like the gopis. The gopis are broken into different groups through which they render service to the divine couple. And again, there's not particularly the followers of the Manjaris, there's not a desire for some independent my enjoyment with Krishna, but rather as a group to serve Krishna together. So even in our most perfected state in the spiritual world, we still are a group serving Krishna. And we do that by following, being dependent. There are some different bhajans sung by Narottam Das Thakur, which give us this idea of how we are dependent upon the eternal servants of Krishna, even in our perfected state, and how that dependence gives us perfection. He says, Rupa, Shri Rupa Manjari Pada Se Mor Sampada Se Mor Bhajana Pujana. The feet of Shri Rupa Manjari, Rupa Goswami's eternal form, as Shri Radha's maidservant in Vraja, are my only wealth. They are the only object of my service and worship. And then he also sings in another bhajan, Rupa Raganata Pade Hoibe Akuti Kabe Habe Bhuja Bo Se Yugala Priti. When will I understand the teachings of Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswami? Then I will understand the transcendental love of the divine couple. So that's how we understand Krishna in a dependent way, not in an independent way. We follow the teachings of the Goswamis. To understand the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna, Narottam Das Thakur says, you must serve the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami with intense eagerness. Serving means hearing, chanting, and strictly following the teachings of Sri Rupa Goswami. Serving also means praying to, crying out to, meditating upon, and dedicating your entire life to the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Manjari. So we do that in a dependent mood as a group. We chant together Sankirtan. We come together and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and other scriptures. And we work together to spread this Krishna consciousness movement in a cooperative spirit, trying to please Srila Prabhupada in this regard. So when we do that, if we do that, then we can be assured that we will achieve perfection, because that is indeed our constitutional position, and the way that we can guarantee that we'll go back home, back to Godhead, not by speculation, not by trying to be independent and doing things on our own, or depending on our own strength to be able to become free from the illusion that affects us. This is the example given by Kaliya in making his prayers here. These two aspects of our eternal conditional, our eternal constitutional position. So are there any questions, comments about that? Yes, Kaliya Pani Prabhu.
This point about, he says in the verse in purport about we can't give up Maya and illusion on our own, but if we surrender. But yeah, my materialistic mind, it has a oft recurring objection to this, that if you itemize what surrender is, you know, you have to stop doing, you have to decide to stop doing and then actually stop doing all the activities which are not pure devotional service. And then you have to consciously take up all the practices which are devotional service. And then there's other things, like you have to not take protection anywhere, which we do normally. We'd have to analyze and stop doing that. We would have to practice humility, which is not natural to us in our conditioned state and takes a constant daily effort. So, you know, if we're doing, I mean, what's the use of surrendering? What's the use of having a God, even, one might say? Because I have to do everything. If I, you know, I'm actually doing everything to get myself out of illusion.
Well, you've outlined what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says are different symptom or stages of surrender to Krishna. And yes, we do those things, but those things in themselves don't guarantee that we will become free from illusion. Rather, they put us, if we do them sincerely, they put us in the position where we can attract the mercy of Krishna and his devotees. And so, if we have this idea that we're, and this understanding that we're dependent beings always, and that's why Kaliya's realization here is important, that he's realizing that his constitutional position, I'm a dependent being, and even to free myself from illusion, I require the mercy of the Lord. So if we have that attitude and we engage in these different activities, humility, thinking there's no other protection, no other one else to protect me than Krishna, all the symptoms you described, if we do that sincerely, then certainly we'll attract the mercy of the Lord. Because part of surrender is also cultivating knowledge of the Lord and hearing how merciful he is. Hearing how, for instance, he dealt with Putana. Putana came to kill him, and her mentality, her disguise, everything was meant to try to cheat and kill Krishna. But he took the essence of whatever little essence of devotion she had, or not even devotion, but some endeavor that benefited him, like she gave him her breast to suck. He took that and discarded all the other offensive mentality and actions that she made. That's the nature of Krishna. We hear that, we understand that, we see, oh, how merciful he is. Then we become encouraged that, let me try more to do these things to attract his mercy or to attract the mercy of his devotees. But even if we don't do that, even if we don't attract the mercy, do the physical and mental activities of surrender, which you've described, even if we don't do that, if we just happen to meet a devotee or we see devotees who travel in society just distributing mercy, then we also can achieve the mercy of the Lord just by their grace, just by running into them, by doing unknown service to them. So there's so many ways in which, if we understand this position that, you know, I can't do it on my own, then it opens a whole world of possibilities that we'll actually be successful in doing that. And so we shouldn't think that I'm not going to be successful, or I'm just working on my own in this way to become purified. Madan Mohan?
Along that same line, is it a gradual process, or is it a snap action, and then all of a sudden I have a different mind, different body, different everything, or is there, I'm working from where I am now, and then there's little teeny steps, like, as you're pointing out, we're not doing this on our own right now.
Well, it can be both. It can be both. It's not one or the other. There, certainly we have to endeavor, therefore we have a practice of sadhana, where we take a regulated practice to attract the mercy of the Lord. But even just an instance, one gets mercy. In the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was with his devotees and they were doing Sankirtan through the village, and there was one Muchi. He was a cobbler. He dealt with skins, leather skins and everything like that. Not a very clean occupation, not even a very elevated position. I think he was also even a Muslim. Was he Muslim? And he just saw the Sankirtan party coming by, and then he just had a realization that this is the Supreme Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he had darshan. And he started dancing, I have seen, I have seen, I have seen. He understood. So just by mercy, without any endeavor, to surrender. He got the mercy of the Lord. So in all ways, the Lord delivers us. All we have to do is be alive. And we can get the mercy of the Lord. Yes, Pranavan?
There's one time I was talking to Chavan Muni Prabhu, your god brother. It was very interestingly, he says, in the morning walk in Mauritius, Prabhupada did not go to temple. He just sat down under a tree to give class. So in the class, he asked the devotees, so to go to spiritual world, Guru has his duty. He comes with the idea to pick up the conditioned soul. What is the duty of the disciple? He asked that question to his disciples. So some devotees say we should chant four regulative principles, some say 16 rounds. So different devotee answered different way. But Prabhupada said, but still there is a one thing need to be stressed, that because you have interest to know what has Guru come for, you have to search out. Disciple also should have a desire to go back home, spiritual world, because my Guru Maharaj has come to pick me up. I also have to have a desire to go. And then he elaborated this, the deep well. The Guru can be very strong, but if the disciple doesn't hold the rope tightly, it doesn't matter how strong Guru is, he still won't be able to lift up. So it has to go both ways.
Right.
Prabhupada, in the morning class, he was stressing about.
You give the rope, you have to take it.
Yeah.
Adi Dave?
I was just going back to Kalyapani's quandary, where free will comes in. It just seems to me that we're at many, many steps along the way. It's also Madan Mohan, the tiny step philosophy. We're being allowed that we desire, and then we're being allowed, and when we desire, we're being allowed, and we desire, and we're being allowed, and that allowing is Krishna's mercy to sort of open up the door for the next step, for the next desire to become more and more pure.
Yeah, the Krishna is present there at every stage, and as we surrender, if we feel that we're making some progress in that regard, that means that Krishna is reciprocating with us. It's not just that Krishna is only involved at the end, but he's involved from the very beginning with the living entity. As he begins to surrender, Krishna begins to reciprocate with them. Javita Prabhu.
I guess there is a mic. Hare Krishna. I've been working around in my head this the first part of your class about how this Kaliya, he belongs to a group, and that group is defined by certain characteristics. Okay, the serpent group, and they're by nature envious. That was his appeal. And you know, just to be born in the group, you're automatically angry. And now he's grateful, as his wives were, that Krishna has beaten that out of him, and now he's humble, and he's different. He's been transformed, even though it's his nature, you know, according to his birth and genes, if you will. So I was thinking that we have that same. We're also like that. I mean, we may not be by nature angry, but we also have our legacy from our previous life. That's how we were born in, you know, whatever situation we are, and most of us not, well, I guess in this community, many have been born into the movement, but certainly those who joined in the 70s and 60s, we had all of that. So in one sense, we're also in a position where we have to overcome, or by the mercy of the Lord, have it overcome our innate nature, which is rebellion against the Lord and all these different things. So in a similar way, we're all like Kaliya. We're asking Krishna to, and there's a prayer, I forget the Sanskrit now, but it's a prayer in one of Rupa Goswami's poems in Stavamala, where he says, my dear Lord, my mind is just like a big fat snake. And it's tormented by, you know, these crooked desires and, you know, this natural enviousness. So will you please, by your mercy, beat my mind with your lotus feet and bring it under control, just as you did So really, really, our only, like I was saying, everything that we do is kind of a prayer. We're putting ourselves in a position where, you know, it's a very good environment here. Here we are in front of the deities, it's the arati. Now we have a good chance to pray to the Lord, chant Hare Krishna, attend the class. But that doesn't mean that, you know, if we don't want to, we can be thinking a million other things. Our mind could be elsewhere. You know, people walk into this temple all the time and just see statues. Not the Bodhis, I'm just talking guests or something, you know. So it's an opportunity that's been given by the spiritual master, by his efforts, by other devotees. So we have this opportunity to pray and recognize our complete helplessness and please save me, that. So it's both things. It's our effort as well as realizing, you know, please.
Mother Mahatma.
Since you were talking about how people remember us with prasadam, I was just going to tell this story for the pleasure of the devotees. I hope you like it. But every summer there are these great fish concerts in northern Maine. So all these kids, like thousands and thousands, would stop at exit 3 on the Maine Turnpike. So this great soul, this great friend of mine, Sukshma Rupini, and I would go out there every year, every summer, and we'd park the van and we'd have Didis in the back of the van, Gorni Thai, and we'd get potato chips and nuts and raisins, because those kind of kids are always hungry. And then we'd distribute books on the main turnpike. So it was like they were always coming up to us asking, oh, you have some of that food you have? And this one girl actually came up to my friend, Sukshma, and hit her on the back, because these kids... You know, this is like late at night, and kids are pretty intoxicated and stuff. She said, wow, did you ever try any of that Hare Krishna grub, man? And my friend goes, yeah, for like maybe the last 30 or 35 years. But so it was just really funny. But, you know, with that generation, you know, with those kids, I just thought I'd tell that story because they just loved us. They waited for us. Then it got to a thing like, oh, are you out here again? Can I see your little dolls? And I'd be, yeah, I'd come back to the van. So every year it was like that. So, you know, I always wonder too, like, as they drive off down the road, what's going to happen to them? And are they going to come back? Will they see a devotee at the actual concert? And, you know, they got a book. They got some prasadam. They saw deities. Prabhupada, please help them, you know, like, what else can you do?
Yeah, well, so that's the mercy hand, as Dravida was saying, being extended now. They have to reach out and grab it, you know. So that's what we do. Again, even in our preaching, we are dependent. We endeavor in so many ways to give people Krishna conscious, and whether they take it or not is ultimately up to them. You think about, you know, people like Divyanga, you know, they go out on book distribution every day and faithfully goes because he believes that Prabhupada's mercy can be given to people. But how many people actually take it, you know, that actually take it? There are few. But that because there are few doesn't stop him from continually doing it, because he's not concerned about the results. He's concerned about pleasing Prabhupada, because it's up to the other people to take the hand and that's being extended to them. So with that kind of attitude, you can go on. But if he was thinking, well, I don't see anybody becoming Krishna conscious after I've been doing this, let me give it up. He would give it up. We'd give it up. But there's just so much reciprocation in doing that on our part that we're not concerned about the results. Mother Mahatma.
Thank you for a nice class, Prabhu. Two things. One is about the prayers that we do for Krishna. Recently, Narayani Prabhu gave that seminar. And one of the homeworks was to go in front of the deities and say, Krishna, I'm yours. And to be honest, I don't do that as a regular thing. So when she left the homework, I did go in front of the deities and say, Krishna, I'm yours. Like to test Krishna and see what you're going to do with me now. So for 3 days I did that. And of course so many things happened that it doesn't come to the point. But that's one thing, that we go in front of Krishna and we pray, whatever our prayer is, that, you know, this is what I'm doing here in life. everything that I do is for you. I mean, otherwise, what else? I mean, do we get up to do what? We know we're going to die. We know we're going to get sick and we're going to die. So we might as well do something meaningful spiritually, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was one nice experience. And the other experience I wanted to say was that this Sunday we had the Spring Festival and we had a book table, Srila Prabhupada's book table there. So I had the privilege to go there for a couple hours. So when I was leaving home, I had my attire as, you know, devotee, but I didn't know if I should wear tilak or not, because sometimes, you know, the requirements of the festival varies. So I thought, well, I'm going to wear tilak anyway. If they don't want me to, I can just wipe it out. So I'm walking through the festival. The booth was all the way at the end, so I had to walk all the way through. And people were looking at me with my tilak and everything. And some of them, you know, some people got surprised, but some others, they recognized us. So I got to a booth that was from the Presbyterian Church, and they were giving water. So they called me, and they said, you want some water? I said, oh, yeah, sure. I took the water, and I said to the lady, only saintly people are interested in giving this you know, giving the mercy to people, like you're giving water and we give food, you know, the Hare Krishnas. And she goes, oh, yes. She says, oh, you're so beautiful. She was like, you know, whoever she was from the church. And she says, do you know such and such? I didn't know the person she mentioned, but I say, yeah, yeah, he goes to the temple. It was a devotee's name. So he says, oh, please tell him that I love him so much. You know, his child is so beautiful. I mentor him. She went on and on and on, and she wouldn't let me go, you know. And she gave me her name. I gave her an invitation and like that. So, yeah, when we represent ourselves as devotees, there is always the opportunity for us to find that ripe fruit that Lord Chaitanya is already, you know, having there for us, for both of us, for the benefit of the person and for the benefit of the devotee to do the service and to... So when you say that we are known by the qualities or whatever, we also have to remember that when we go out, because we are known by that. So we have to do it. We cannot... say, you know, well, okay, I don't have time, you know, whatever. I don't want to wear the tilak. I don't want to put my sari on or whatever. This is what we're known for. So we need to be out there because people are waiting for us. You never know when the situation is going to be there for you to take.
Yeah, well, when we had the Colors Festival a couple weeks ago, I was thinking about Mother Mahamaya and how she had initiated this Love Thy Neighbor Festival several years ago, and we must be doing something a little right here, because, I mean, after all, we are in the rural South, not just the deep South, the deep rural South, and this town of people have accepted the devotees. And they respect the devotees, they like the devotees, they even promote themselves as the home of the largest Hare Krishna community outside of India. Proudly they present that. And so, yeah, it's important how people know us, those people out there on the 235. So we'll end there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.